Welcome back, guys. This is K-pop Fighting. This is TYB.
And this is Gyun.
Yeah, we had a very long week, but it has been actually very warm day, actually. I mean, yeah. We don't talk. I'm trying to avoid weather issue, actually. But this time, I can't help but talking about it because weather is crazy right now, actually. Mm-hmm. It's getting so warm.
Yeah, I actually had a bomber jacket with me today, but It was very, very warm. Like it is even like the not even pre-summer vibes
almost. I
think we skipped the spring phase.
So the cherry usually blooms the cherry blooms usually on like March, I think.
Yeah, the mid-March.
Yeah, but right now, it's not because it was too cold.
Yeah, it just started blooming, right?
Yeah, it starts, and they're like in a hurry right now because it almost feels like summer already.
Yeah.
In a couple days.
And it's gonna go away in a week, right?
Like at least 2 weeks.
Yeah, but it does feel good to be in a better weather. And, you know, having more exposure to the sun.
Actually,
gets me going, makes me feel better.
Actually, it gives you more energy, I think, too, actually, because I was, unlike you, you lived in California, right? The more place. I used to live in Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Too freaking cold. Yeah, it's hot in the summer, but so like, ironically, I liked winter before going to Midwest.
Uh-huh.
But after living in Midwest for 10 years, now summer is my favorite season.
Yeah, I bet. Same here, because I used to hate summer, but ever since I visited LA last year, it's been my favorite weather.
That's great.
I can't wait for summer to come.
That's great, actually. Yeah, for summer, like, even the music is changing, I think.
Yeah,
for sure. Because before that, ironically, Crush, the artist we were talking about, is like the guy who works in both summer and winter, which... it's hard to do, actually.
Yeah, it's hard to become an icon of both summer and winter. And, but he managed to do it.
Yeah, and he's still hot. And at first, he was more like an indie R&B guy.
Yep.
But then he's very pop guy, even like ballad guy, too, at sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like he sings Song Si-kyung's song.
And, yeah.
And then he sings...
the soundtrack for K-pop dramas. Yeah, I mean, K-dramas.
Yeah, or like a Dokkaebi. Like
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. Which is like very, very, very pop. Yeah.
Melodic.
Yeah, melodic. And so he has everything, actually. So like, and he even does like the idol, like New Jack Swing song, Rush Hour.
Yeah. And he recently collaborated with Yunjin from Le Sserafim, right?
Yeah. So
that is actually also like a very UK garage type of song.
Very. So he does pretty much everything.
Very versatile.
Yeah, he does everything. And he's still hot and he's still very, very, not only versatile, but very strong and like very, very, his music is artistically very high quality.
Yeah, very distinct.
Yeah. So like, that's very interesting to see. So like, I wanted to talk about him actually for this week. So, before we talk about Crush, we know he was actually a producer, right? He wanted to be a producer at first, right?
Yeah.
And then while he was making music, giving music, everyone thinks he was kind of like hot and like he was very, like not in hot and like a looking way, but his music voice is very melodic and he has an impact on it. So they kind of wanted to make him like a singer, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what he said, actually.
Very authentic R&B vocal.
Yeah, and that's very interesting because I remember that before he wanted to throw the demo tape to everyone. It's kind of like American style, actually, story.
Very old school.
Yeah, because in Korea, usually, if you want to be a musician, there are some, like, certain, what should I say, like, way you have to do something.
Yeah.
Like, you have to test this pass, you have to pass this audition and stuff. But he didn't do it. He just, you know, went person by person, actually.
Yeah, he just, like, gave out demo tapes and stuff.
Yeah, and
That is actually the way he reached out to Zion T, right?
Yeah. I mean, before that, he kind of gave demo tape to Ameba Culture and got no response.
For, like... a long time, right?
Yeah. All the time. And then he got this. And then when there was Giant T, I mean, who would miss Giant T? He's just...
Yeah. Zion T is also a very authentic R&B artist. So
very distinguished.
Yeah, very distinguished, very versatile.
Of course, of course.
So
and he has his own character, the way he dress, mm-hmm. the way he walks, the way he sings.
And his vocal tones.
Of course, yeah.
It's crazy. So Crush, he gave I saw that video where he talked about it.
Yeah, go ahead.
He said that he saw Zion T in a show.
Mm-hmm.
And as he as Zion T walked out, Crush followed him.
Mm-hmm.
And just like gave him the
demo tape, yeah.
Oh no. He actually said that I make music also. Mm. I want to make you hear it, and he actually gave Crush the email address.
Mm.
But at that time, he was acting kind of douchey.
I can see. Yeah.
I mean, as Crush described it.
Yeah.
He acted kind of nonchalantly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he was. Really, not really expecting a lot, but the next day, Zion T reached out to him, saying that it is crazy, let's work, mm-hmm. and that's how, you know, the story we know started.
Yeah, he did the beat with Benzino, with, of course, Zion T, and all those guys, and then,
yeah.
Ironically, there was a time where he had to make a decision, which label he has to get signed on.
Yeah.
And there was, he said it, right? The same YouTube. Yeah. YG was there.
YG. Crazy.
Yeah. Ameba Culture or Illionaire. Actually, mm-hmm. I heard it even that Crush is going to be a part of Illionaire, actually.
Yeah.
I actually heard about that rumor even, but like.
That was a long time ago, right?
Yeah. But then he almost wanted it, but he kind of wanted to make a revenge on Ameba Culture, he said.
Yeah, because he said that like he has been a big fan of Ameba Culture. For like at least a decade, right?
So
he just got that compensation mm-hmm. by signing to Ameba Culture, and during that time, I really liked his features,
mm-hmm.
The songs he worked with Zion T, of course,
mm-hmm.
and there's this one song he worked with Supreme Team.
Yeah. The last song of him, right?
Yeah, and last song from Supreme Team.
Yep.
That was actually my favorite Crush song until he became like mainstream.
Mm.
Yeah.
What? How? Like, do you remember like how you found Crush actually?
As I became like a hardcore hip hop fan, I revisited him.
Mm-hmm.
But my first encounter was actually in a Korean music show. It was maybe like one of the songs from his debut project, Crush on You.
During that time, he was
on like Music Bank.
Yep.
And all the music shows.
He did the Hug Me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, during that time, his visuals were very distinctive.
Mm-hmm.
He had that slick back type of hair, and he's very tall, right? So
yeah.
He had that red burgundy type of suit on, and which looked very, I guess, old school.
Yeah.
But very very trendy at the same time.
Yeah, it was slightly more trendy than the Taeyang solo works.
Yep.
But it was still on that path, you know.
Yeah, so I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Because, you know, at that time, the early 2010s, it was the rise of boy bands and mm-hmm. the girl groups.
Yep.
So this one guy just gets on the stage with several dancers, and he, you know, sings in the genre that I never heard of before. So that was kind of my first encounter.
Okay.
Looking back, it was actually really crazy because it was Crush.
Yeah. Actually, it is similar to me, actually, too. Actually, I was more a fan of the genre music, especially R&B. I was a huge fan of R&B in the, like, 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
So I listened to indie R&B musicians like Jinbo, Deez, like those guys, Jung Gigo, those guys, you know.
Yeah.
Like before The Sum, like
mm-hmm.
Blind, that era, you know, the indie R&B era. And then, of course, Zion T was like the pop star of that era. And then sort of, I kind of met Crush's music through Zion T. And then his first album was like, released and I listened to it. It was like, It was very interesting. I gave it a listen. At first, it kind of sort of sounds like Taeyang, but much yeah. more trendy and like very, very, what should I say? Very R&B, actually. Like
yeah.
Real R&B.
But at the same time, like I got that feeling of hip-hop. Like,
yeah, yeah,
a
actually.
Lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Like some trap.
Trap, yeah, yeah, actually, like Bryson Tiller type of
yeah,
vibe in it.
But it was before trap soul was even a thing.
Yep, yep, yeah.
It was more like, I guess, Drake in some type of way, like instrumental
yeah,
wise.
Yeah, yes, yes. I guess, yeah,
but the way he sings it, the way he projects his vocals, it was very trendy because he was in that middle ground, the common ground of rap and singing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, even like the song Kakkum, the Sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's very melodramatic. It's very Korean Gayo style.
Yeah.
But it has some sort of weird hip hop beat in it.
Yeah. In the way he projects his vocals, it is very rhythmic.
Yeah.
The way he inflects his vocals.
Yes,
yeah, that is very rhythmic.
Yeah.
Kind of like how Usher does it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Chris Brown does it.
Or even Drake.
Drake yeah, as well. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very hip hop / R&B type of style. So come to think of it, it's very much a style of you, actually, Yoon, right?
I would say I was very inspired by Crush a lot because there's this one album, mini album that came out before his, like, you know, some bigger projects. In 2016, there was this album called Interlude.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
The album itself is called Interlude, so that is pretty weird, but that is supposed to be, like, the middle ground of his the phases
mm-hmm.
changing. But that song has a lot of hip-hop influence in it.
Mm-hmm.
There's this one song called 9 to 5 featuring Gekko.
Yeah.
That is a very Travis Scott, Kanye West type song.
Mm.
There's this song called Dust, which is very Bryson Tiller type mm-hmm. song. And some other Uahe, which is like very R&B, but
yeah.
at the same time, very weird in some
yeah,
ways.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So overall, it was very alternative.
He did try a lot. There was one EP album about all those like female features, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, there was Yoon Mi-rae and all those like
mm-hmm.
female vocals, and they sing some like very
yeah.
pop style,
mm-hmm.
very, very pop. So
yeah.
He tried very many different
so
things.
So I would say like he never stopped experimenting
yeah.
Music-wise, because even until now,
yeah,
like just his recent album, Wonder Ego, I mean, you can't say that he didn't experiment on that album.
Of course, that was a very experimental.
Yeah.
But until that album came out, what we thought was, the first album that I listened to, I thought he was very indie, very, you know, authentic hip-hop R&B guy.
Yeah.
But then after that, he did Beautiful.
Yeah.
He did all those pop ballads, and he did, of course, it was featured by Benzino, but The Outside was very pop.
Oh, yeah, that summer song?
Yeah.
Right.
And so he did all those pop songs, and it was almost like K-pop songs, you know.
For sure.
So he had that moment, and then there was Rush Hour, very K-pop dance, and like New Jack Swing vibe.
Yeah, genre-wise, that song was almost funk, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very unexpected.
Mars. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all thought that, oh, now he goes to Psy's P Nation, maybe he'll be a pop star now.
Yeah.
But then he drops Wonder Ego, which is like a opposite side of pop star, you know?
Yeah, that Rush Hour record was also very P Nation style.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so everyone's expectation was towards Rush Hour.
Yeah.
Okay, he's gonna make more mainstream type of music.
Yeah, he's gonna be like a Bruno Mars.
Yeah, he's
yeah.
gonna go for the charts, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, he's gonna, you know, demolish the charts.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't the case. And that I think that is why I love his music so much.
The third album is like such an out of expectation. It's very authentic, smooth, jazzy, and even some sort of hip-hop too, actually.
Yeah.
Very deep, genre-oriented album, actually.
Yeah, yeah. And the production was very authentic.
Mm-hmm.
You could just feel that they actually recorded the whole instruments, live instruments,
yeah.
in a very good acoustic. Yeah, and you can just feel the texture of the instruments, not just the vocals. And that is why people really appreciate that album, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, it is 2024. a lot of dopamine oriented music is coming out. Even I make a 1 minute song, but Crush, the latest Crush record was very slow music. A lot of work was put into it,
and it works only when you listen to the album
in full. Yeah. I mean, you could still listen to it in singles or, you know, shuffles, but still it was very, very good in albums.
Mm-hmm. And he told in those same YouTube that he collected all those LPs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's good about LPs, there's all those like instruments right there. So he got all the pictures.
Yeah.
And actually started collecting the
Collecting the vintage, let's say synthesizers, the drum machines,
sure.
stuff like that.
And then he created the music. And you can see it kind of sort of works. Those digging kind of works in his sound.
And that is how he crafted his, you know, music.
Mm.
That is very, very inspiring to me as well.
Because I think the way you make music is more like a fashion right now.
Kind of, yeah.
You need more like a sense, but also you need, it's not just the guts. You need to have a lot of source
for your music. Yeah, for sure.
And that's how you make your music very unique. Like, like for example, I think like Jin Young Park, his music has some kind of weird uniqueness only because he digged 70s, 80s funk so much.
Yeah.
That there's always this like 70s, 80s funk vibe in his music, which is really rare because it's very authentic.
Yeah.
So it's kind of same with everyone. Like, no matter what kind of music you do, even when he does like a twice this pop song, when he makes it, there's always 70s funk vibe.
Yeah. Like the chord progressions, the swing in the drums.
Yeah. And even the sound of the hi-hat, it's
just the open hats or the closed hats, very, very distinctive.
Yeah.
And I think that is a thing, I think that is very you know, colliding with the current music norms, because, you know, I like the way you said, you know, music is kind of like fashion these days. I totally agree with you, because unlike the past few years, music has been you know, producing a lot of branches these days.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a few years back, it was, you know, not to be exact, you can see in a few big categories, you know, rock, R&B, hip hop, you know, dance music, world music, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It was, in the grand scheme of things, it was very simple. But these days, it is very fast changing.
Yeah.
In dance music, you have Jersey Club, UK Garage, Brazilian Funk, Plug and B, Rage, Drill, you know, K-pop, Afrobeat, Amapiano, like
everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is because of the short form media. So the trend is very fast and everlasting. I mean, never lasting. So people don't, producers or artists, we don't really have the time to grasp on things with time and effort, and we produce music that is very short, very, very fast paced. Producing wise, we put in less and lesser time into it, writing it as well. So I guess that is kind of like the problem. I don't think it's a big problem though. So that is why I really welcome the records like Wonder Eagle when it comes out.
I think, ironically, yeah, I agree with what you're saying, because you're at the player, you're at the ground right now.
Yeah.
But like me as a music fan, of course, I don't make music. So as a music fan, it's because of that, it's more distinguishable to someone who makes music more like a slow form and for the fans.
Yeah.
And I think most, like, at the top musicians, even right now, are the guys who does it music in a slow form.
Yeah.
Like the Vultures. It's crazy, just one form, basically.
Yeah, the Ty Dolla $ign, Kanye.
Ty Dolla $ign, Kanye. And or even, like, of course, Crush is a very good example. And
Zion T as well.
Yeah, Zion T as well, of course. And those kind of guys, they always make music for themselves.
Yeah.
And that music kind of creates his own vibe, like Weeknd.
Yeah, and makes his own narrative.
Yeah, they make their own self.
And so they make their own wave, not riding the wave.
Yeah, or like even we just talked about Wave to Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and their music is very, very genuinely theirs.
Yeah, know? In their own lane.
Yeah.
So, that is basically what I like about Crush. Because, like, he doesn't really... make more trendier songs.
Of course.
But he can do stuff in the both worlds.
Yeah.
And that is the part I appreciate him.
I think that barbell strategy is really great. It's like he makes pop music and he does authentic R&B or authentic genre music that he really wanted to create. And
yeah.
Cuz it's hard to get that kind of album.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of like there were very few albums like now, because nowadays Korea, of course, is very fast paced too.
Yeah.
So I remember this album and then maybe Babylon's 90s Ego album.
Oh yeah.
That's like the only album that has this kind of like authentic,
mm-hmm.
like their own world, basically.
Yeah, I agree. And even though the times are changing very fast, the music trends are changing, the fashion is changing, I think there is an everlasting virtue in music, mm-hmm. or fashion,
yeah.
which is the effort, the time, the vision.
And your own identity, right?
Yeah, identity. And so...
Yeah, that's great, actually.
And I appreciate that there are still artists like him that is still going on.
That's great, actually. And his music is just, like, getting started. I think he's going to do another work so long and very energetic. So why don't we finish Crush's episode with, like... by like recommending one single or one song. Let me start first.
Okay.
Because like Crush means I think more to you as an R&B musician than me, so
okay.
But for me, I would recommend something that you guys don't know. There was like a show called Begin Again. It's like all the artists sings. It's like a music show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there Crush very strangely sang Non Gamdongyeoseo.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's a song called from the pop ballad musician Song Si-kyung.
Mm-hmm.
And Song Si-kyung is like he's like a basically a king of K-ballad, basically, mm-hmm. right? Pop ballad.
Yeah.
And Crush was saying that his music was inspired by Song Si-kyung so much, which is weird. I mean.
Yeah, I do see where he's coming from, but yeah. I don't see it a lot.
It's more like. I think that's one of the few K part that he has.
Yeah.
Mostly his black music.
For
you know?
Sure.
Yeah. So that's one small part that, but it exists, you know, I
for
think.
For sure, for sure.
It's like the ballad sentiment of him, basically. So I recommend this song because actually that song created by Crush sounds very, what do I say, Marvin Gaye or very Donnie Hathaway type R&B ballad. Actually.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's kind of like very, but still I can see where he's coming from. I can see the influence a little
bit. For sure.
So maybe
that was a good one.
Yeah, actually foreigners might like it actually because, you know, it has K vibe in it. You know?
It sounds familiar, but it sounds also, it is in Korean, so it is very different.
Yeah, so that's the song I kind of recommend. It's it's a song probably foreigners wouldn't know or like English speakers wouldn't, you know, get a check on. So I recommend that song. How about you, Gil?
I would say 2411.
Great song.
Which is a song from 2016, 15 probably. That is like a Crush song that I listen to the most. I relate to it a lot because, you know, the song itself, the 2411 is the number of a bus Crush used to ride every single day. When he attended a music academy to, you know, basically go to college and stuff, he used to ride that bus going to the academy, you know, fantasizing about himself being a pop star.
Yeah.
Will I make it one day? Or what if I don't make it? All the anxiousness and the anticipation for the future coexists in that song, which is, you know, kind of, which explains a lot for the, you know, young people these days. And the song itself is very youthful, and I relate to it a lot even now. So yeah, I would say 2411.
That's a great recommendation.
Yeah,
that's great. I mean, it's it's crazy how, like, I just talked about how he makes his own music and he say what he wants to say, but ironically, that's very effective for the audience too.
Yeah.
Because we as an individual are always, like, you know, living in the same days as the listeners.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're genuine to ourselves, it kind of we are kind of relating to them too, actually, I think. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to know everything.
Yeah.
We don't need to calculate what they would think because we just feel it. So the most genuine thing might be something that's relatable to others too. Sometimes, yeah, yeah, of course.
Because, you know, Crush, behind being the whole, you know, worldwide pop star, you know, he is still a man.
Yeah, he's still an artist.
He's a man in his 30s who likes making music.
Yeah, he's just a musician. Yeah.
You know, he's just the same guy as all of us.
Yeah, and at the studio, although he's a pop star, he's the same as you and me, actually. He's just in front of the, you know, MacBook.
Himself. He's a creator.
Yeah. So it's all, everyone's a creator nowadays, so it's all relatable, I think.
Yeah.
That's a great one, actually. Yeah, that's all we got for today for Crush. And next time, we're going to do... Actually, last week, we were planning to do this IU, but actually, we postponed it. So for the next week, we're going to do IU for sure.
For sure.
The Taylor Swift of Korea.
Yeah.
So until then, we'll see you next week.
See you next week.